This is the State of Things from the American Tobacco Historic District. I'm Frank Stachow. Tensions are rising in North Dakota. Militarized state agencies are clamping down on activists protecting a lake on the Standing Rock Sioux Reservation from a proposed oil pipeline. The protesters say the Dakota Access Pipeline threatens to cause serious and irreversible environmental damage. If it's completed, the pipeline would stretch nearly 1,200 miles and carry 470,000 barrels of crude oil a day. The state police agencies, as they get tough, the protesters are gaining more support. U.S. military veterans from all over the country have started arriving at a protest camp near Standing Rock. They say they will act as a human shield to protect the activists. North Dakota officials are threatening heavy fines for people who so much as deliver supplies to the main protest camp. Here in North Carolina, the Eastern Band of the Cherokee Indians are also lending support. Gilliam Jackson is a member of the Eastern Band. He's been gathering supplies for Standing Rock and joins me now. Gilliam, welcome to the State of Things.
Thank you.
Also joining me is Richard Sneed. He's vice chief for the Eastern Band of the Cherokee. He introduced a resolution to send money and resources to the Standing Rock Sioux. Richard, thank you for being here.
Thank you for having me, Frank.
Gilliam, let me start with you. Thousands of protesters have been at Standing Rock for months. They're fighting against the proposed oil pipeline there. You've been there. Can you describe the scene for us?
Yeah, I've been there twice now, and I'm planning to go back in December. And the camp, it's a very spiritual camp, and I call it Spirit of the Camp. And as you enter the camp, you'll see about 300 tribal nations and their flags put up at the entrance. And they're always checking you. People are volunteering. They check you to make sure you're not bringing in guns or drugs. And it's very well organized. They've got medical tents, two or three of them. They've got a legal tent where they're taking depositions. They've got a kitchen tent. They've got an information tent, supply tent, and just a common area for speakers and people who come. And they're constantly reminding you to be prayerful. It's a very spiritual camp.
What prompted you to support the group out there?
My buddy and I, Trey Adcock, we both teach at the University of North Carolina in Asheville. We just sensed a calling, and I think it was. And I can't really describe how that happened, but we got in touch with each other on a Monday night. And we both said, hey, I feel like I need to be there, and he said the same thing to me. And within 3 days, we were on the road driving 25 hours. So we just need to be there to be supportive to our brothers.
Richard Sneed is vice chief for the Eastern Band of the Cherokee. You pushed for a resolution to send money and material to Standing Rock. Why?
Well, when I first heard of the struggle that the Standing Rock Sioux were facing, at that point, it really hadn't become a national issue. The word was traveling through social media throughout Indian country. And when I first heard about it, there were two things that really prompted me to take action. One was the fact that, you know, we're dealing with a precious natural resource, water, that is being threatened. And secondly, there's just this historic pattern of abuse from federal and state authorities. Anytime there's there is a natural resource that's valuable at stake, indigenous peoples historically have been basically run roughshod over by the government. And so folks in our community immediately, when they found out about it, there was a lot of talk in the community that we needed to do something. The Eastern Band is a leader in Indian country. Other tribes look to us for leadership. And so with that in mind, I brought a resolution to our tribal council seeking financial support, and really left that to the discretion of our council as to what that dollar amount would be. And they really stepped up to the plate, and we took a $50,000 check to the Standing Rock Sioux tribe, and I presented that to help them in their fight, their legal fight against the pipelines going underneath the lake.
And as you said, you brought that check out yourself. What was the scene like when you got there?
Well, when I got there, it was very peaceful. You know, at that time, the barricades were on the Bismarck side of coming into Standing Rock. It was probably a good 10 miles away from the camps, and it was a very friendly checkpoint. There was National Guard, really young National Guardsmen out there. I'm a veteran myself, and, you know, of course, I showed them proper respect. But And then on the other side of the camp, there was a Bureau of Indian Affairs police roadblock. But again, all very cordial, all very friendly. The camp itself, as Gilliam stated, was just a very peripheral place, a very peaceful place. There's just a spirit of unity there. You really have to be there to experience it. Obviously, now that has changed. It's turned violent against the protesters. But at the time, it was beautiful. It was just a beautiful place to be, and there was just again a great spirit of unity out there.
One of the Gilliam, let me ask you this, because I understand supplies are running short. At first, the state was going to actually blockade supplies, but a public outcry forced them to change that decision. Now they're finding people who will bring supplies in. Has that, do you think, how concerned are you about this as you continue your effort? And do you think it's going to have a dampening effect on those who want to bring in supplies?
If that is really true, it would it'd be detrimental. I do not think that it's legal, and I do not think it's going to happen. I think the power of prayer is going to be is going to overcome it.
What about the governor of North Dakota ordered an evacuation of at least one camp? It's unclear to me whether he's talking about all the camps or one particular camp, but ordered an evacuation. Richard, let me ask you what you're hearing from people about this, and then, Gilliam, I guess I'll ask you the same thing. Are people planning to leave? Are they going to stay? What are you hearing?
Well, you know, like every other time, there's conflict between the government and really any protesters. It's always under the auspice of safety and concern for the protesters that, we need you to leave. This is, cold weather setting in. Supplies are running low, which, to me was really hypocritical because, the authorities themselves were the ones who were at first blocking the supplies and now threatening, people who, like Gil, who want to help with possibly being fined. But, the word on social media, when you see with the people who are out there and who are posting videos and putting posts on their Facebook feed and on their Twitter feed, is that they're not leaving. And, of course, now there's the veterans are slated to be out there. And I think that how the government responds to the veterans coming out there, I think will if they respond in a violent way against the veterans, I think that will sway public support even more. For the protesters.
We are talking about the Dakota Access Pipeline and protest out in North Dakota today on The State of Things. Richard Sneed is with me, Vice Chief of the Eastern Band of the Cherokee, and Gilliam Jackson is a member of the Eastern Band as well. Let's talk a little bit about, the spokesman for the investors who have who own the Dakota Access Pipeline. It's a $3.7 billion project. Those investors say, look, this pipeline is safer than other modes of transportation for oil. Why are you blocking it? Gil, let me start with you.
Why are we blocking it? Like Richard Sneed said, our vice chief, the government has always just done whatever they wanted to do with tribal nations, and I think it's time to stop. And this is the pipeline is going across treaty lands, and treaty lands that were never ceded by the Sioux Nation. And their claim is that it's going to be detrimental to the water supply that they've got. And in addition, it's pretty well known that about 22% of the time, these pipelines will break and the detectors are not always, they don't always work. So I stand right beside them, and I just don't think that's the way to do it. There's other sources of energy. I think it's time to get away from fossil fuels.
Richard Sneed?
Well, I think, there's one point that really has taken a backseat in all of this, and that is that the original route for this pipeline was to cross the Missouri River north of Bismarck. And, Bismarck being a predominantly white city, they protested. They did not want the pipeline routed that way. And it was just subsequently routed down through Indian country and right up against the border of the reservation. There was really no consultation with the Army Corps of Engineers and the Standing Rock Sioux. There was no respect for tribal sovereignty, for the government-to-government relationship that's supposed to exist between tribes and the federal government. And as I said earlier, this is just a historical pattern of abuse. And I think at this point in time, tribes like the Eastern Band and other tribes that have resources to help support and to finally take a stand, united with all of our other tribes throughout Indian country. And as I stated yesterday when I spoke to Laura, social media is really driving this because, for you know, we now have a means of communicating, you know, instantaneously to get the word out, and people are flocking there to take a stand united.
Will there be more support from the Eastern Band?
Well, financially, I can't speak to that because Tribal Council is the one who appropriates funds. And I think at this point, you know, we're kind of taking a wait-and-see attitude as far as what's going to happen with this deadline, you know, basically the line that's been drawn in the sand. And I think it's also important for us to see what's going to happen with the change of administration. Obviously, if this persists and the protesters are allowed to stay, and there's a need for more financial support, I fully trust that the Eastern Band of Cherokee, that the Tribal Council will step up and do the right thing.
All right. Well, I want to thank both of you for being on the program. Richard Sneed is Vice Chief for the Eastern Band of the Cherokee in North Carolina. Gilliam Jackson is a member of the Eastern Band as well. Thank you both for being on the program.
Thank you, Frank.
Thank you for having us.
Just ahead, we remember a landmark settlement at UNC Chapel Hill that provided housekeepers with higher wages and better treatment. A successful struggle 20 years later. We'll talk about it on the State of Things from North Carolina Public Radio, a broadcast service of the University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill. Stay with us.